Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 271 of Nerd Pride Radio. 271 is a sexy prime. There wasn't a bunch of information on the Wikipedia page, and I didn't go much further because... And if you want to know what a sexy prime is, by the way, I think I've talked about it before, but yeah, look it up. It's not that interesting. More interesting is I thought, okay, like I do sometimes for these numbers, I'll do a search for 271 something in particular and then see what shows up. And so in this case, I did 271 light years was my Google search. And on Google, the top related question to my search of 271 light years, the top related question was, how many human years are in a light year? Okay, I get it. People might ask that. So let's follow that up. I click on the question, and Google replies without blinking an eye. Google says, oh, how many human years are in a light year? Well, 5.88 trillion. I'm like, really, Google? That's the best you can do for me? No other qualifier, just I say, how many human years are in a light year? And he says, 5.88 trillion. And that's it. Because obviously I've gendered Google. And so in case you're not the same sort of nerd I am, a light year is a measure of distance, not time. Therefore, it's not like translating dog years. It's how far light goes in a year. So yes, the answer 5.88 trillion is 5.88 trillion miles or 9.5 quadrillion meters or however you want to categorize it. But it's a measure of distance. It took like the third link down before Google could do better because it was 5.88 trillion. And then the second link was describing in answer to that question, describing how long it would take for human beings to get to Alpha Centauri, which is 4 year light years away. And then finally, the third one was a link to Quora.com, where they explained that, you've misunderstood the thing. And they were very, very nice about it, and they explained it very slowly. And so, anyway, that's it for 271. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I'm a Pathfinder / D&D nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every whenever I get my crap together to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride studios in 10 Forward. Oh. So, anyway, that's right. Time for a little meta talk.
Oppenheimer!
Yeah, meta talk is where we go inside the curtain, show you how the baseballs are made, talk about the podcast, the website, whatever. Okay, so, obviously, as you've noticed, I haven't had an episode, in 5 weeks, and even that one took me a week to get out, so I haven't recorded an episode since we were leaving Gen Con, like, 6 weeks ago, and, it's been a bit, so I don't know what happened. I just felt kind of burned out, and every week as it came time to record, I just couldn't muster the energy to do it. It just seemed like so much, and so I sat down to this one thinking this is where I was going to announce an indefinite hiatus, that I was going to take some time off, and maybe, I don't know, we'd just see how it goes and all this. But as it turns out, I'm sitting down, and I start putting it together. I'm looking through my master list. I'm organizing stuff. And it was kind of invigorating. It's like suddenly I'm energized again, just planning it and organizing it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I enjoy Nerd Pride Radio. So it feels really good getting back after a long break, and no promises, because, you know, I'm unreliable and all, but I'm going to try getting back on track here. I'm sure Aiden will be excited to record with me when he has a weekend off next week. We'll see what we can do, but I don't know, I got to keep reminding myself that even when it's work, much like busting, podcasting makes me feel good. So hopefully we're back, but we'll see. Again, no promises, but I think so. Maybe? Probably? Okay. Anyway, we'll get back to that. Now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. Yeah, after 6 weeks, I can't talk. That's fine. This is the time for me when I talk about all of the interesting things that I've stumbled across during the course of my busy, busy life. If something tickles my nerd fancy, I add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every time I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight into this master list.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
That's right, it's my gaming table. Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. Let's see. First up, Godball. That's where we left off last time. And we had our roller coaster of a playtest at Gen Con. We played lots and lots of games of Godball, got lots of great feedback and some, you know, kind of rude feedback. But either way, it all worked out. And Dave and I spent the next couple of weeks or so just intense on it. We did a whole bunch of revisions and we got it all together. And we have a version that it's not perfect yet, but is a huge improvement on even the previous version, and we're very, very happy with it. This has been really wonderful. So thank you to everybody who's played it so far. You guys have been awesome, and we're really moving on this. And now we've kind of taken a break because school's back in session, and Dave's back to a lot of, he's busy. So we're taking some time. But in the meantime, we've wound up putting Godball together on Tabletop Simulator, which, you know, we've had people tell us we should try Tabletop Simulator, and we just haven't gotten to it until now. And I am so sorry we waited so long for this. Tabletop Simulator is, it's a few bucks on, maybe 20, I don't remember. Anyway, you buy it on Steam, and Tabletop Simulator just simulates tabletop board games for you. And there's all sorts of them that you can, are either pre-programmed, or you can buy them, or people have free downloads of stuff. Or you can program your own, like we did with Godball. And oh my god, guys, we put Godball into the Tabletop Simulator, and it is like you're sitting at the table playing Godball. It is crazy how effective and realistic, how professional looking the game is when we put it in Tabletop Simulator. It's amazing. And so we're thrilled to death with it. And we've tried out a few playtests of the new version of stuff using Tabletop Simulator. And if you come on over to the forums and check out the Godball forum right up at the top, we will try and start posting up how other people can access this, access our Tabletop Simulator version of this, and either join us for playtests or run your own playtests and get back to us and let us know how things went, because we're really super excited about it. It's just a lot of fun. So totally worth your time. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a table with our game on it. Like, you can rotate around it. You can actually just pick up and move the pieces like you would in any other game. If you get really pissed at the end, you can flip the table over and dump everything all over the floor. It's spectacular. If I can get Jacob to play test it with me, I just haven't shared the link with him, but Jacob could get in there with his VR rig and actually literally, in virtual reality, sit down at our table to play this game. How cool is that? So, anyway, that's that. The other one I've been doing, though, is Starfinder. Out of nowhere, Dave texted me the intro to a Starfinder game where he basically just describes to me the setting that I'm in an interview room. I'm handcuffed to a chair, and there's a large Vesk, a huge lizard reptilian guy, being mean to me. And what do you do? And so I make up a character on the spot, and we start playing this out. And then it went well, so he grabbed a couple other people, and we've now got a Starfinder game going, and we were playing it entirely by Facebook Messenger, but now we've moved over to Discord, which I really, really like, by the way. Discord is really cool. So we're playing some Starfinder, and it's just, I'm going to tell you how much I really enjoy Starfinder. The intent was, because Dave and I have always wanted to play a Firefly-style game together, and so he has set up essentially a Firefly-style game in Starfinder. It is working really well. And so my captain, I get to be captain of this. Yes, oh captain, my captain. My captain character is Captain Z, and I'm captain of a transport vessel that has been converted for smuggling, so it's very Firefly, and we're just having a blast with it. But the one thing that I found is really difficult about it is, yes, while it's modeled on Firefly, and obviously I'm taking a lot of cues from Captain Mal from Firefly, I want my character to be something different, but boy, it is so hard not to play Captain Mal. Malcolm Reynolds is such... I've seen the show enough times now. It's a very easy character to inhabit. It's a very comfortable... Like, any situation that comes up, you instinctively know what Captain Mal is going to do. And it is really hard not to just be him, like, even insofar as, picking up his cadence and his manner of speech and his... It's really weird. So, but anyway, it's a lot of fun. So we're having a good time with that. And so I'm inspired by that, and I thought, as I was talking to Dave about something else, we got onto this Starfinder game, and I thought, oh my God, you know what? I want to run a Pathfinder game the same way. You do a Discord setup and run a Pathfinder game, and oh, wouldn't that be cool? Test out some Pathfinder 2 stuff, because I'm really excited about Pathfinder 2. And instead, as I got to thinking about it later, I realized, no, you know what? I don't want to run a Pathfinder 2 campaign over Discord, but I do want to run Terror at Camp Pinewood, one of the role-playing games that I've written myself. And this one, Terror at Camp Pinewood, is Boy Scouts in a horror situation. It's basically a Boy Scout horror movie played out in a role-playing game. And I don't necessarily want to play Terror at Camp Pinewood itself, but I've realized of the games I've written, of the scenarios I've written, my favorites are always kids as the main characters in some kind of stressful, potentially horror or sci-fi situation. And I really enjoy those games, like playing out old Stephen King books, stuff like that. And so I'm trying to rework the rules for Terror at Camp Pinewood so that they're not so scout specific, and then maybe I will put together a game of this. But we'll see how that one goes. I'll keep you guys posted, and certainly if I decide to go forward with it, stuff will show up on the forums, and if people want to sign up, we'll see how many people we can take. I mean, I'm thinking maybe only about four, but we'll see. I mean, if I even get the thing together, we'll find out. So. And then, and then that was the last thing, is on my gaming table, Noah and I, it was just the two of us with some time to hang out, and so we set up a gaming day for ourselves, and Noah and I picked, the intent was to pick out a whole bunch of games that I own, but I've never gotten a chance to play, and it would just be me and Noah just playtesting all of these, just facing off against each other, and we'd get through them. And we also did some old favorites that we've done before, but some of the new ones that we tried out, Bricks, B-R-I-X, it's from Blue Orange Games, who, one of my favorite game designers. I love everything they do. So they did Photosynthesis, they did Battlesheep, they did all sorts of other stuff that I just can't think of the name of for right now, but Bricks is really good, and it plays out like kind of like Connect Four. So you're facing off against each other, and you have these pieces, and each piece has blue and orange on it. It's like two blocks together, one blue one, one orange one. They're stuck together, and as you set them into this wall that you're building, the you also have either an X or an O, and you have your choice of you can set out either a blue X with an orange O or vice versa, and you're arranging these into a wall, and you're trying to get four in a row, like connect four. Except when it plays out, one person is colors and the other person is symbols. So if I'm playing colors, if I can get four blue in a row or four orange in a row, I win. Whereas the other guy, Noah, here is playing symbols. So if he can get four X's in a row or four O's in a row, he wins. And so as the board plays out, it is you're playing two separate games using the same pieces put together. And so you have to pay attention to both games because and only one of those games can you win. The other one, all you can do is play to block the other guy. And it really requires some different level of thinking, and it was really fun for both of us. It is exactly the sort of game we enjoy, and so we had a blast with that one. Another new one, Onitama, which is one that Nelly sent me. Thank you to Nelly for that, because I love Onitama. It is Onitama is you have five pawns on your side. You have one master pawn and four student pawns. And so you have five pawns on your side, and you have two moves in front of you. There's a bunch of cards with all the different moves that the game has, but during any particular game, there are only five moves on the table. So those are the only ones you're going to see. And so you have two moves in front of you, and your opponent has two moves in front of him, and then there's one extra one that's kind of sitting off to the side. So on my turn, I can choose one of my two moves, and they're all named after creatures. So I can use dragon or crane or goat or whatever move I'm going to use. And so that move shows particularly how I can move one pawn. I pick a pawn, and it shows me what directions I can move it, either one step forward or one step back into the side, or it gives me the options of moves that I can use. And so I make my move. And then whatever move I use, I now give up, and I set it off to the side, and I take the one card that was already out there, the one that was in limbo between us. So as you're playing the game, you can see on your opponent's next move, you know that those are the only things he can possibly do on his turn. Therefore, you can strategize according to that. And then when you play a move, you've now given it up. So now you know that that not this turn, but the next turn after that, you know your opponent's going to have access to that move. And these five moves just keep rotating around the table. And it's really, really cool and really fun. And the object here is either to capture the other guy's master pawn or to get your master pawn into his temple. Either way. But that's not the cool part. The cool part is the fact that you only have five moves and they just kind of keep rotating. And you have to strategize knowing that oh, yeah, well, if I use the crab, because the crab is super useful because it lets you move two spaces sideways. Oh, my God. But if I use the crab, well, now he's going to have access to the crab on his turn. Ah, geez. Loved Onitama. We must have played that four or five times in a row and just had a blast with it. So that was super cool. Also tried a game called Quicks, which is one that Yancey gave me as a gift. Oh, God, probably 2 years ago. And it just keeps sitting there. And every place I go, I always take it with me because it's a little tiny game. It's like it's a Yahtzee style game where you have a handful of dice, and then you have little tracking sheets where as rolls go, keep going. You can use those rolls to mark things off of your sheet, which will then add up to score points at the end of the game. And so I bring it with me because it's a little tiny game. It's easy to carry. I always have Quicks on me. And yet, everywhere I've been, when I try and bring it out, it's like, no, everyone's got something else they're excited about. So we never get to this one. Noah and I played, and even with just the two of us, it was great. It was a different level of strategy that we really enjoyed. And Quicks is just a good game. It's a game where, because unlike Yahtzee, the dice pass around, and so everyone gets a turn to roll the dice, but on your turn, you get to do two different things, but also on your turn, everyone else gets a chance to make at least one mark on their sheet if they want to. So you get to pay attention and do stuff on every single roll of the dice all the way around. It's not like you have to sit here and wait as the dice go around until finally it's your turn and you get to do something. No, you have to pay attention all the way through, which was nice. And so I highly recommend Quicks. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. Boy, we tried a bunch of other things, but most of them, we played some more Battlesheep. We played a bunch of stuff that we've done before. I'm trying to remember. I think there was one more new game, and I cannot remember for the life of me what it was. Hold on. Let me look through my photos. Aha, here's the photo of it. Okay, here's all the games we played. And so I mentioned those three. Okay, Battlesheep, we played some more Hive, Rhino Hero, Cobras. Ugh. Love all these games. And then the last one was GoTrio, which I also got as a gift. And GoTrio, this is the travel version of I can't remember what the OTrio is, the full-size version of the game. And GoTrio is super cool. It is a tic-tac-toe game, except there's like multiple layers of it. Like each space has room for either a small, medium, or large ring to go onto it. Yeah, I can go on this space with my medium ring, for example, but now someone else can move into the same space using one of their other different sizes of rings. And so you're playing tic-tac-toe with either three or four people in the game, and you can win either by getting three of the same size in a row in your color, or by getting three different sizes in either ascending or descending order in a row of your color. And really cool. The two-player game is a little harder because you have to play it with a dummy color in there that doesn't get to score any points. So it's a little odder. But again, different type of strategy where you have to you're playing a really familiar game, tic-tac-toe. The rules are really simple, but now you have to look at multiple levels of it, and it was awesome. So again, just a little game day together, just me and Noah, and we had a blast doing it. So. And then after we put all that stuff away, we found several other games at home that were like, oh, why didn't we try any of these? So, you know, we'll report back next time we do one of those. All right. That is it, finally, for my gaming table. Let's head on down to the science corner.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Okay, this is a fast one, but I saw an article that astronomers just discovered two stars orbiting each other faster than any we've ever seen. That's the headline. And written by Michelle Starr. There we go. She's the author of the article. I have no idea what website I stole it from. Probably Popular Science. But we'll see. Well, no, we won't. I'm not going to double check. Anyway, the gist here is 7,800 light years away from us, there are two dead stars, meaning they're both white dwarfs, two dead stars that are orbiting each other at unbelievable speeds, like so close together that they are whipping around each other and make a full orbit of each other every 6.91 minutes. Something like that. It's under 7 minutes. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, 6.91 minutes. Just crazy. And the two white dwarfs, normally a white dwarf is in mass, can be anywhere up to 10 times the mass of our sun. Both of these stars are smaller in mass than our sun. And one of them 60% the mass of the sun, and the other one only 20%, one-fifth the mass of the sun. And both of them are collapse down so small that they are both smaller than the Earth. So the one that's heavier is much, much brighter. It's what's left of it is burning a lot hotter. So it is brighter. And then the other lighter one is actually a little bit larger and less dense. And so it is not nearly so bright as the other. And so what happens is as they orbit every 6.91 minutes, as they orbit each other, the darker one winds up eclipsing the brighter one every 7 minutes. And so we can see this just regular blinking star. Every seven minutes we can see this thing from Earth, which is just fascinating. Now, you got to imagine that as they're orbiting each other every 7 minutes, as I keep saying, the two of them together, like I say, both of them are smaller than the Earth already, and their orbit together, the whole thing fits inside the planet Saturn. That's how tight this orbit is. To me, this whole picture is just unbelievable. And here's what's super cool about it, is that the fact that they are orbiting so close together and so quickly tells us that they have got to be giving off gravity waves that we should be able to detect. Like, we've just been able to start detecting gravity waves from certain processes, And here's one that we're looking at going, oh, it has to be generating gravity waves that we will be able to detect once we have more sensitive instruments available in a couple years, which I believe is code for, oh, when the James Webb Space Telescope is launched and functional and has some time to start staring at this thing. Oh my God, that sounds great. So, I'm just thrilled to hear about it. I'm just trying to imagine these two, super dense white dwarves whipping around each other that close together. Just to me, again, amazing. Maybe you're not the same kind of nerd, but man, I love this stuff. All right. That's it for the science corner. Last up in our meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, it's time for a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. In this week's Nerd Culture Report, I'm actually talking about the all-new Nerd Pride Radio movie of the every other week, or Ampramatyao, as my brother keeps abbreviating it. This is the movie of the week that we used to do a movie of the week thing, but it's actually movie of the every other week. You get 2 weeks to watch it, and then we all just discuss it. And so it's really kind of fun. Well, not kind of fun. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing this because I'm seeing some movies that I wouldn't have watched otherwise and getting to discuss them with a bunch of other people who have all watched the movie in relatively the same time span you have. So it's all fresh in our minds and we get a chance to hash these things out. So the first one was A Dark Song, which I've seen before, and actually Aiden and I watched it together and we talked about it on the podcast a while back. But watching it again was quite an experience, and it holds up. It holds up really well, so I was really happy with that. Second one was See You Yesterday, a time travel movie about about race in America, which is fascinating. I love a time travel movie. And I saw the short, this was my pick, by the way. We take turns picking the movie, and this one was my pick. And so I had seen the short clip on Netflix. There was a 15-minute version of this that was so successful that they decided to make it into a full-length movie. And so See You Yesterday. And it turns out that I'm glad I watched it, not nearly as good as the short clip. It just, anyway, the discussion was really good. I love discussions of the movies in our movie of the week when we don't agree, or when the movie is flawed in some way, and it makes a much more interesting conversation. So the newest one is Cloverfield Paradox, which we are actually discussion opens today, and so I'm not going to give away what I think about it. I have to wait till I go contribute to the discussion. But that was cool. So now next one. This whole point is if anyone wants to join in, again, we've got, you know, a dozen of us, and we're taking turns picking the movie. And so if you want to jump in and watch, then the new movie is The Guard, which is available on Crackle. So, you know, go watch The Guard and then jump in and contribute in 2 weeks when discussion opens up on it. And, you know, and if you like it and you want to stick around with us and hang out, then we'll add you to the list, and you can even pick a movie when your turn comes up down the road. Or, you know, if you'd rather just tune in every once in a while and pitch into the discussion, that's great too. But, again, a lot of fun because we're again watching the movie together, essentially. We all watch it within that 2 week time frame, and then we get to discuss while it's fresh, and I'm really enjoying this. So if more people want to get in, more discussion, more fun, so come join us. And then that's it. That's the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. You know what that means, right? Yeah, that's right. It's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. In the middle of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that's where you guys are supposed to come in. Get on it. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I'll add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And we're going to see how this goes, because, oh my God, we almost missed it. The number is 73, and we only have 78 entries here. So I'm either going to have to get some more Pod-O-Matics in, or I'm going to have to crack R2 open here and drop in smaller dice, because we don't have 100 anymore. So let's start off with 73, and we'll just do a couple of these, because, again, there's not many anyway. And number 73 comes from Ronster. Hey, Ron. Ron says, if you went to the beach and it turned out to be a nude beach, would you stay or would you go? If I went to a beach and it turned out to be a nude beach, I would probably stick around because, because you don't have to be nude at the nude beach. You're just allowed to be nude at the nude beach or topless at the topless beach or however it works out. And so therefore, you know, if we had made plans to come down and go swimming for the day, you know, we go swimming or hang out or do whatever we're going to do. If I got there and everybody's nude, I don't think I would want to get nude at the nude beach. And so therefore, you know, if everyone's nude but me, then yeah, I'd probably take off. But you know, it depends. It also depends on who I'm with, because you know, if I'm there with my wife and she's not comfortable hanging out there, then we would go. Or if we're there with some friends or, you know, people that have little kids or, you know, someone who might be more sensitive about it for whatever reason, then okay, you know, if we're not all comfortable, then let's take off. That's fine. But, you know, I've only a couple times, I think, been to a beach or swimming area where I think it was just topless, where women were allowed to go topless at this particular location. And so looking out across the entire, I mean, it was a large area, looking out across the entire place, there was literally one woman that we saw going topless in the entire place, and nobody really cared. It was not a big deal. So, you know, something like that, yeah, I don't care. But yeah, if it turned out to be all nude, yeah, I'd probably be uncomfortable and I would probably leave. But, you know, we'll see. Well, we probably won't see, because I probably won't be unknowingly be in that situation, but you know what I mean. All right, anyway. Number 10, that's right. Nova Scotia had a nude beach we could have gone to. Why didn't we do that? Oh, yeah, it was too far to walk. That's why we didn't do it. Darn it. Ugh. See, I had my chance. All right, number 10 is from Kaz. Hey, Kaz, so good to hear from you. Kaz says, Pinterest, have you gotten into this at all? If so, tell us about your favorite find. No, sadly, I haven't, man. I know people who have done Pinterest and still do Pinterest, and they get a lot out of it because it's a great way to collect some stuff, to organize certain types of things. For me, I've just never done it. I think I created an account, but I didn't actually do anything with it. So, you know, not that great for me. In fact, Pinterest to me is one of those things where if I'm searching for images and I get a link to Pinterest, I always think, oh, cool, Pinterest has a whole page of these. I should be able to find what I want. And then it's no more or less useful than anywhere else I go, I suppose. But, you know, not to knock people who enjoy Pinterest. I understand that if I were to take the time, put in the effort, learn how to use it correctly, it would probably be great for me, but I've just never done it. Yeah, Lisa, for example, loves Pinterest. She uses it and organizes it. I mean, she's done it for, getting school stuff, ideas for her classroom things, finding gifts for people, organizing things like that, recipes. There's all sorts of stuff you can do with Pinterest. I just, again, it's not for me, or at least, you know, I've never tried enough to make it for me. How's that? There we go. Ooh, 76. Man, we're going to push it right to the edge, aren't we? 76 is from a listener named... Oh, it's Ronster again. Good job, Ron. Ron says, if you could splice the DNA of two different species to make a species that would benefit mankind... We've done this question before. There was a bunch of them from Ron. I finally realized what happened is that somewhere along the line, I made two copies of his entries, and I wound up pasting both of them in. And so we've done this one before. So I'm going to... 85. Oh, man, this may be the last one because there is no 85. There we go, 60. This will be our last one. 60 is from Kyle. Hey, Kyle. Kyle says, you have two choices. Extend the... I don't even know if this is supposed to be dramatic. Maybe I shouldn't use that voice. You have two choices. Extend the average lifespan by 50 years, or the creation of a widely affordable mass-use personal teleportation device for regular travels. Pick only one. And why? Ooh, all right. So, extend the average lifespan by 50 years, or teleportation, personal use... teleportation device that is widely affordable for regular travel for all people. Assuming that teleportation device is also energy efficient enough, or that it's accompanied with some discovery of a better way to create and use energy. Assuming that it's not going to break us by being bankrupting the planet in energy wise, I would go for the teleportation. And why? Because I think the affordable personal teleportation for all people would be a huge equalizer in a lot of things. All right, when we start talking about job opportunities, when we start talking about equality in education, when we start, there's a lot of things that quick and easy teleportation would solve for those things. I mean, when I look at, for example, just simple example of when people start debating over voters' rights and the idea of how difficult it is to, okay, let's say you live in a state where they're wanting to put in voter ID laws, all right? The idea of having to get to wherever is required to get your voter ID because they want you there in person to have a picture of you and verify your documentation. So you have to get somewhere in person to get your voter ID. And then come the day that it's time to vote, election day, I think that's what they call it. Come election day, if we don't allow people time off from work to go vote, or at least most places don't. And so therefore, if I can't afford a car, do you know what kind of hassle and expense it is for me to request time off of work from my factory job or whatever job I'm working? Request time off of work to go vote and then find mass transportation that can get me to my voting place because, oh yeah, lots of places don't. To save money, they've been cutting back on the number of polling places, and so therefore, some people do not have a polling place with an easy walking distance like I do. And so, yeah, imagine you have to take time off of work. You have to find transportation that gets you to your polling place, which is just extra time, and not all of them are open late enough for people, or just it's not conducive to people's hours. And imagine how much trouble would be saved in those places if you could just instantly teleport. If you could just, mass teleportation that is easy and nearly free for personal use, and you can just hop on over there, do what you need to do, and yeah, you just don't might have to wait in line, and there's still some time involved. It doesn't solve everything. But, man, it would solve a lot. Of course, also, allowing early voting also solves a lot of those problems. And there's other ways to handle it other than just teleporting people. But that is one place where teleportation would help a lot. Or in the integration of schools. There's just so much for it. So much. Although, living another 50 years would be nice. I mean, as my wife and I were just discussing, we're past the halfway point, aren't we? Darn it. Or at least, probably. I'm planning on living to be 120 something, but I don't think she is. So we'll see how that pans out. But yeah, another 50 years, that would be really cool. But I think the teleportation would be more beneficial to mankind overall. So that just my thought. So there you go. That is the end of the Pod-O-Matic. You guys are awesome. And that brings us down to my credits, which if I was on the right page, I would be reading right now. Oh, wait, no, we can't go to the credits. I forgot how this podcast works. First, we have to turn it over to GLaDOS so she can give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's In the Garage, and She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You should check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. Write me a nice review because those things really make It's not the review that makes a difference. It's the five stars that make a difference. Write me a five-star review and say whatever you want in it. I don't care, but give me the 5 stars. That'll make the difference. You want to do something even nicer for this podcast? Recommend it to your friends, because if you're enjoying it, you should spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Oh, remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Seriously, send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Oh my gosh, I mean, look, Ron and Kyle together own over half the list right now. So as much as I'm sure both of them will help me out, and I would love that, that's great. But come on, the rest of you, just send me 5 or 10. That's what I need. We need to get it back over 100. So anyway, send me some questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on some social media. But to be completely honest, seriously, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, you send me a message, we will hang out together, we will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And that beeping, by the way, was the humidifier is full. So there you go. Dehumidifier. Got it. Anyway, we'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to, well, sometimes I go out to the internet, but mostly lately I just send it out to my Gallium, Nerd Pride Radio Gallium Club members. Send them out a text each to say, hey, I'm recording. What do you want to say on the air? And then, man, I am so bad at this. Let's try again. And then whatever they say while I'm recording, I will read off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. There, that was a little smoother. So this week, let me pull it all up here. We've got some good responses, I think. At least a lot of them. Finally, I had to put the phone on silent because it was a lot of beeping. So anyway, let's go back to, there it is. I sent out to everybody and said, here it is. Nerd Pride Radio Gallium Club members, I'm back with a short podcast after over a month off. Talk to me. And this week's question, without Nerd Pride Radio, what was your favorite podcast over the last month? Or, as some of them went before I realized my error and fixed it, what was your favorite podcast? But anyway, so the first response I get is from my son Jacob. And he says, hey, glad to get one of these messages finally. As you are well aware, Behind the Bastards caught my ear. Oh, see, I have a list of my own podcasts that I've been listening to that I was going to fill in at the end. And that's one of them that's on there. Jacob recommended Behind the Bastards to me. And really good. He says, really informative stuff with a group who has great chemistry. Yeah, the host is Robert Evans is the guy's name. He's a journalist, a podcaster, and his producer, Sophie. And then they have a guest on each week for whatever story they're going through. And the guests kind of rotate. You will see a lot of them come back. And just Evans is an awesome host, and he has amazing chemistry with his guests. And he it's just an awful lot of fun. And he will go through each one. It's a historical look at some really awful person. So the person who invented chemical warfare, for example, or the scam artist who, this one they keep referring to over and over, scam artist who decided to sell drinking bleach as a miracle cure-all for everything that ails you, and still is at it and gets away with it. So it's stuff like that, and sometimes it's political, sometimes it's historical, sometimes it's a combination of stuff, but it's just really, really interesting. It is a very funny, sometimes, look at some really, really horrible actors in history, as in, not actors as in, you know, stage actors, but actors as in, you know, people who act badly. So anyway, yeah, that was a great one. I completely agree. Let's see who else is next. Let's see, go back. I know how to work my phone. Oh, next is Emily. Hey, Emily. Emily says, By the Book, a podcast where two people read a self-help book and then followed I've heard of this one. One of them was a guest on something and talked about their podcast. Anyway, let me finish reading what Emily has says. They follow the self-help book exactly for 2 weeks and then tell the listener what they thought and if they would recommend it. Also, where's Aiden? I didn't get a platinum text. Sorry, no, Aiden's not here. Aiden is working. He only has every other weekend off, and I kind of didn't even know I was going to record for sure today. I had thought I was going to, but until I started actually looking at the master list and organizing it, I was still kind of in the, I don't know if I want to do this sort of mood. But now, I'm doing it, and if I had waited, he's off work right now. I could have waited for him, I suppose, but I didn't, and I feel bad. So sorry about that. But I should feel bad. You're right. I heard about By the Book, the podcast, and thought it sounded fascinating. And I had just subscribed to several new things, and so I didn't. It was kind of right there on the fence. But man, if you're liking it, I will go try it. Thank you, Emily. I appreciate that. So and I've got to remember to actually go back and do these because. Let's see. Oh, next is Dave. Dave says, you're back. We all missed you horribly. I had to satisfy myself by re-listening my way through Cosmic Crit from the beginning. It was hard, but I knew I could do it. Nice. Cosmic Crit is a great role-play podcast, and I do not know what it is in my nature that I cannot listen to actual play podcasts where people, when I say actual play podcasts, I mean people who record their gaming sessions and then put it into a podcast format or onto YouTube or whatever. For the life of me, I've had bunches of them that I've listened to, just tons, and I just can't do it, and I don't know why. I mean, Cosmic Crit is really good. There have been some of these from people I love, comedians and writers who I really respect, and I love their work, and I always enjoy the first few episodes, and then after four or five, it's okay, it's tedious. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about me. Now, with Dave, while we were driving to Gen Con, he had some selected Cosmic Crit episodes, some of their specials, and so he played those for me as we were traveling, and they were fantastic. Had a blast with them. But again, I just, for some reason, I can't seem to make myself keep up with them, and I don't know why. Something broken in me, I guess, but not my style. So I'm glad you're enjoying it. And again, if you're into listening to other people role play, I would recommend Cosmic Crit. It's one of those that I really enjoyed for the episodes I've listened to, but then I just quit. So, because that's how I do. Next is Pat. Hey, Pat. This is DM Darks, who is, by the way, so awesome. Pat says, I have been delighted with the discovery of Quick Question with Soren and Dan. Oh, Soren is, Cracked. He was one of the Cracked.com writers. And here it says, he says, I enjoyed them greatly when they worked for Cracked, and it's very nice to hear from them podcasting. And the format is great. All banter. All right. I will write that one down too. Cracked is was a kind of guilty pleasure site for me. I enjoyed Cracked articles, but after a while you start to realize that it's a format. It's clickbait of its own nature, and but I do like them, and so yeah, I'll give them a shot. I would probably really enjoy that. So cool. Next is Kyle, and Kyle says, my favorite podcast was the all new Nerd Pride featuring me. It only played in my head, and it wasn't as good as Serial, but it was all right. He says, oh yeah, and Gabe's here. He wants to know what your favorite retro hairstyle is for facial hair. Oh, that's easy. I like the prison stash, the one where you get the big mutton chop sideburns that come all the way down, to your jawline on the sides, and then blend up into a mustache, and then your chin is bare. So it's essentially a reverse goatee. You let everything grow out into a big full beard, but then you just shave the chin, just straight down from the corners of the mouth, just shave the chin straight down, and it's the reverse goatee. That's my favorite. I have done that myself when I've decided to shave my beard off. I've actually shaved that look onto myself just to see what it looks like before I take the whole rest of it off. And I personally think it's really cool, but it's, I wouldn't be able to wear it seriously, but, it is my favorite style. I don't know if that's retro. Maybe I should have gone more back to, something more turn of the last century, maybe. But anyway, that's my favorite. It's a very 70s sort of thing in my head. So, and then he also says, Gabe and I are eating pork vindaloo. How good is pork vindaloo? Isn't it joyful to say vindaloo? Oh, yeah, I love the pork vindaloo. We thought it was awesome. Spectacular. In fact, I've been really enjoying the, we have like now three Indian-inspired recipes that we have been eating on a regular basis. The other one we just had was butter chicken, which is just spectacular. Oh man, we love the butter chicken. In fact, this last butter chicken was probably the best butter chicken we've ever made. And it's an Instant Pot recipe. Nice and easy. Love that. So Vindaloo's great. Let's see. Sarah Beth says, oh, missed you. Probably the perennial favorite, Sayer. Hope you're doing well. Oh, Sayer was another one I was going to mention. Sayer is back, and the new season is really good. I love the direction it's going. I have found some really funny parts in it and some really tense moments, and I just love Sayer's style. Really, I've listened to Sayer 2.5 times through now, maybe three. I can't remember how much of it I've re-listened to, but I love Sayer as a podcast. It's a sci-fi, very paranoia-esque podcast. It is worth listening to from the beginning. I highly recommend it. Sayer is great. Next up is, man, there's still more people. Next up is Talvin. Talvin says, History with Bob was my favorite other podcast with Nerd Pride Radio. I have never heard of History with Bob, but you know me, I love history. I'm definitely going to try it. And then he also says, by the way, we're playing a game of Starfinder. Woo! Yeah, it is me and Talvin and Zen and Phoebe. So the four of us with Dave as our game master, just having a blast. So good game. Really good game. Talvin also says, has your son Eli recovered from the trauma of Gen Con? Yes. Yes, he has. And he's also, he's doing really well and having a good time. So I invited him to be here with me today to share this, and he did not choose to join me, but I would love to have him come on and talk about stuff because he's got great stuff going on. And then lastly, how awesome is DM Darks? Oh, so awesome. Thank you, Talvin. Next up is Ron. Ronster says, glad to have you back. Really missed you both. My fill-in podcast has been one called Bard and Bible. This week's podcast was The Good Orc, which is a full cast parody of The Good Samaritan. That is cool. And I went to Dragon Con again, this year as Thorbowski. And yeah, and for the parade, I was Emmett from the Lego movie. Oh, photos. Seriously, photo. What, did you post them on Facebook and I just missed them? Oh my God, we need pics. Seriously, dude, we need pics of that. God, Emmett and Thorbowski. That is awesome, dude. Next up, Yancey. Yancey says, wooden overcoats. Okay, hold on a minute. I'm sure he's talking to me about this one. Give me a sec. No. Oh, okay. Nope, I got it. Wooden Overcoats is a sitcom-style podcast. It is British, and it is about rival funeral home directors, and so it's basically an audio sitcom with a bunch of dark British humor about funeral homes in it. So I've heard him talk about it. It is it sounds very interesting. I will try to. Yancey is very into TV show sitcom and drama style podcasts. He's not. He has some informational ones he listens to, but most of them, he likes to listen to shows. And so, he's big into just old time radio, listening to old radio programs that have been re-released and stuff like that. So, I will give this one a shot. So always looking for something new. All right. And then I think this is the last one. Yep. It's Aiden. All right. Let's see. Okay. So Aiden says, "You fucker." I'm sorry. I normally would not use that word myself, but Aiden would, as you guys are well aware. "Couldn't wait till 6th. I see how this is. I've been waiting for weeks, and this is how you treat me? You can't record a podcast without me. I am this podcast," he says in all caps. "You will be hearing from my manager and my attorneys. I swear you will never be funny in this town again." I don't know that I was the funny one to start with. I'm pretty sure that was you, dude. "As if you started it in the first place." And then, in a smaller, quieter voice, he indicates, "And I like Welcome to Night a really long time. And it is an absurdist sort of semi-horror comedy." Again, absurdist is the best way I can play it. It's just surreal. It's weird. And it is, if you've never listened to Welcome to Night Vale, I highly recommend. Go listen to episode 1 and just listen through the first few and just see how you feel about it. Every episode, when they get to the weather is always a song. And some of their music is super good. There's a lot of songs I've picked up from there that I just really enjoy. I love Welcome to Night Vale. I finally had to stop because I got lost in it, and it wasn't, they were in kind of a slump, and Aiden says, but they get over that, and it's different. They changed hosts, and they introduced some new stuff, and anyway, he says it's really good. I have not gone back to it. I'm not sure I will, you know what? When I was hanging out with him, we listened to a few episodes together just because we were just listening to a few episodes together. We were driving somewhere or something. And I really enjoyed them. I mean, I haven't resubscribed, but still like listening to it. All right. And then, his next post says, "Step 1, have kids. Step 2, hide babies all over your house. 3, Dad, where do babies come from?" And your response is, "Where don't babies come from?" as I pull a baby out of the cabinet. Okay, I find that very amusing. And that's everything I've got, I think. Hold on, let me double check. Yep, that's it. So I appreciate you guys bearing with me. I appreciate your patience during my long hiatus. I am back this week, and hopefully I'm back again, coming up relatively soon. So we'll try that out. Thank you, guys. I love you. I appreciate you sticking by me. It's been a good time. So say goodnight, Lisa. Good night, Lisa. And say goodnight, R2. We're out.